We'll go right now to line one. You are in KGSL. Did you have a question or comment? Are you there, Sue?
Yes, I have a comment. You people are at it again. You will not get a Seventh-day Adventist pastor that really used to be or is or was or is going to be and come on there and slander those people like that. What you people are doing is public slander, and don't think that God won't notice a false shepherd.
And you know, I'd like to say something to you. You know, you when I listen to you, you really trouble me in my spirit, because you're typical of that one today that calls himself a Christian, and you think that being a Christian is sitting there keeping your mouth shut, allowing lies, to accept false teaching and false doctrine. And you know something? You talk about false prophets. I don't usually do this, but you know, you really have vexed my spirit with that attitude, because if you think that you are serving God's purpose, okay, by taking that attitude and rebuking people for standing up and taking
the
truth and taking the responsibility of doing what God tells them to do. And if I was you, I would tell you to read the Bible, because I think you will find in the Bible we're told to do and to go into the world, and we're told to go against false doctrine. I really feel sorry for you. That's your religious experience.
And
I really
right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would convict the hearts of those that want to hear truth, that love the truth, that will adhere to the truth, that will follow the truth, and will want people to know the truth so they can be set free and truly go to heaven and not go to the place of hell. Lord, that truly will put our trust in Jesus, and not in a day, not in a baptism, not in communion, but truly trusting totally and adhering to Jesus and then obeying him and enduring to the end in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Did you hear that caller?
I heard part of it. Part of it I did not hear. I don't know if the connection isn't that good or what the problem is, but whatever it is, I certainly heard part of it. But I did enjoy Jerry's answer.
Okay, praise the Lord. Said to rebuke them sharply. But anyhow, brother, what we were talking about is we're going to have a Seventh-day Adventist on next week, an ex-Seventh-day Adventist, a former fourth-generation Seventh-day Adventist, who's going to be, he wasn't a minister, and he's also going to be talking about how the Sabbath was taking the place of the first commandment, and that's not even what Jesus referred to as the first and most important commandment. But you also have on your website a fact sheet about the Seventh-day Adventist, and we will...
And by the way, we want to thank you for that, because it really came in handy for our broadcast then.
And we did give your website, so hopefully you're getting some more information about that. But the reason, Dan, I wanted you to come on is because we need you desperately right now. We need... There's so much lies going on and so many things that are happening. So, first of all, I want to give Dan Carner... He knows his subject, and he knows what he's talking about. And I heard, Dan, what I'm going to ask you about, I heard a radio talk show host say, the only way you can lose your salvation is to become apostate and deny Jesus. And I believe Scripture definitely relates to the great falling away. However, I also believe that you can die in your sin and lose your salvation simply because you choose to practice the sin or sins in Galatians that definitely tell you that you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can you give us some insight on that?
Yes, no doubt about it. The various things that you have just said is right on in regards to what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul warned the Galatian Christians numerous times. He wanted them to know that if they would go ahead and live according to the sinful nature, they would not inherit the kingdom of God. That's similar to what he wanted the Ephesian Christians to know in Ephesians chapter 5, 5 through 7. He said, of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Within the last week, I was on the internet, and I was reading what this one so-called evangelist had on his website, and essentially he was saying that there's only one way to go to hell, and that is by not believing on Jesus. Now, I've heard this numerous times in my life, and this is very, very typical among those that accept the teaching of eternal security. Really, what they mean is there is only one sin, and that one sin would be a continual state of unbelief in Jesus. And, of course, that is absolutely, positively not what the Bible declares. There are many ways to end up in hell. I remember reading some information by Charles Stanley, and Stanley said, if there is a way to go to hell, certainly sin would be that way. And then he went on and he tried to refute that particular concept. But a lot of people believe like that, that if there is a way to go to hell, sin would be that only way. But clearly the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John both taught that if Christians would believe a false gospel, they would not enter the kingdom of God. So that's critically important that we know that. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. John said in 2 John 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. This is why Jesus warned us of savage wolves in sheep's clothing. They're called false prophets. Jesus said they would come. They were to watch out for them. The Apostle Paul warned the sheep of these savage wolves. I like that terminology in a sense because it's very, very descriptive, very clear. A ferocious wolf or a savage wolf is dangerous and lethal to the sheep. A sheep in the Bible is a follower of Jesus, a real Christian. So in other words, somebody preaching a false gospel message can damn the soul of a real Christian. And that's why we need to come to the place where we know what the real plan of salvation is, and we continue in that real plan of salvation right up to the very end. And we're going to have to endure various hardships and problems, because make no mistake about it, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus, and you better serve the Lord Jesus, because if you don't bring forth good fruit, you'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus, the devil is going to make it as hard on you as he possibly can, and we have to endure, like a good soldier, that hardship.
What do you think, Dan, about individuals? Now, we just heard one on the radio, okay? What do you think about individuals that think that if you get up and you preach the truth, and you declare the righteousness of God, according to a commandment of God, that we're to go into the world, that we're to preach the gospel, and that we're to teach the truth, okay? And as Kathy says, she used the verse earlier, she says that those that sin, now this is what it says, it says those that sin, the Bible says you rebuke before all. Now, some people think that, you know, if you'd have a personal thing with somebody and you take them in a room and you say, now, beloved, that's really not nice that you do that. Is that the way Jesus would talk to them?
I get that from time to time. People email us. They tell us because of this particular person that we grant the Skull and Crossbones Award to, or this other person. They call us unloving, or that we have violated the principle that Jesus set down in Matthew chapter 18. So usually we just write back and we just tell them that it's the circle of offense. Since these people are teaching openly something that is deadly, then openly they need to be refuted. And that's exactly a tremendous blessing in itself. Let's take it in a natural. If there was a restaurant right down the street from the radio station and they were serving partial wholesome food and part of it was poison, you would be doing people a great favor by warning them about that restaurant and what they're serving the people.
Absolutely.
My question, though, you do not pet a poisonous snake. Okay, if it's going to kill someone, you're going to have to protect those individuals by speaking the truth or doing whatever defense you have to do to keep someone from dying and going to hell. So when I hear these, and Brother Dan, I really believe they really believe this in their heart, that you can't lose your salvation. I really believe that. In fact, the one minister said, yes, but if you do lose your salvation, it is impossible to get it back. But what they don't understand, or seem to understand, that that's not the only way to die and go to hell. You can die in your sin, and Ananias and Sapphira, I don't know what else to do to get them to realize they're going to send people to hell if they don't start telling them you can't live in sin. In fact, the person said that sin, no kind of sin would keep you out of heaven if you're born again, only the denial of Jesus Christ. What would you say to that?
Well, what I would say to that is these are very dark days in which we're living. To put it precise, Charles Stanley teaches similarly. He said in his book on eternal security, quote, "It is not lying, cheating, stealing, raping, murdering, or being unfaithful that sends people to hell. It is rejecting Christ, refusing to put their trust in Him for the forgiveness of sin." Unquote. Obviously, that is flatly contradicted by the Bible. In Revelation 21:8, it says, "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." So notice, it's not just the unbelieving, according to Revelation 21:8, that will go to the lake of burning sulfur. There will be others as well.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, I was saying a while ago, though, I want to show you, you know how that you would find that the tolerance group, they will say that you're intolerant towards their views. But, you know, but when it comes to accepting your view, they're very intolerant. And that's what this just reminded me of a while ago. Here, I mean, this individual called and accused us of being out of order because we're out here, you know, trying to reach people, encourage people. If they're in the wrong religion, we're trying to get them out of it if they're believing the wrong thing. Now, but she didn't think anything about calling us on the air and rebuking us and telling us what false prophets we are because we do these things.
Well, what was brought out, though, Brother Dan, is the fact that the Seventh-day Adventists say anyone that Helen G. White and all those say that anyone that do Sunday worship will receive the mark of the beast. They are the Antichrist. And that's what they're saying, that we are the Antichrist if we worship God on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's a very sad thing, but of course, this is just what Jesus said. He said that false prophets would arise and deceive many, and Ellen G. White is a Bible-defined false prophet, just like the founder of Mormonism, as well as the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Consequently, just like the Lord said, you have millions and millions and millions of people in the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Seventh-day Adventists. And that's only three groups. The list goes on and on and on. There are many false prophets out there. Many people don't even know what the truth is about Jesus. They don't know how to get biblically born again, and they certainly don't know that if you do get biblically born again, that you can afterwards lose that salvation. I'm talking about a true, genuine salvation. You can lose that. Some people, like John MacArthur, others would say, well, if you turn to reprehensible type sin, heinous sin, then you were never saved to begin with. But that is not what the Bible says. David certainly was saved. He certainly was elect before he turned to adultery and murder. And sadly, a true Christian can disown Jesus. The apostles did that, and Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, if you disown him, he will disown you.
I have also a question that they wanted me to give to you, and it's in Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, they say that this person was amongst us, but really that he wasn't born again or whatever, and that the Lord never knew him. And I said, well, you're just mixing apples with oranges. That's probably the case, but do you know any more on that? I mean, the person probably wasn't saved and walked amongst them and pretended to be one of them, but there are those that are saved that do go back and sin, that do fall away and go to hell.
Yes, amen. There's no question whatsoever, no doubt about it. First John and other scriptures, such as the Matthew 7 passage you referred to, it mentions people that are religious, doing religious things, and never truly being saved at all. But that's only part of the problem. A bigger part of the problem isn't people having a quote-unquote false conversion, as many would term it in our day. The bigger problem is those that truly do get saved because their guard is not up, because they have been deceived by a false prophet, a savage wolf in sheep's clothing, an eternal security teacher. They are going to think that they are held, they are kept. There is nothing that they can do. No sin possibly could send them to hell. Consequently, they're not living in the fear of God. They're not on spiritual guard like they need to be, and which they must be, to enter the kingdom of God. You have to have a pure heart. Jesus wasn't joking when he said in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. So sin can defile and corrupt and even bring to spiritual death a true Christian. And according to the Bible, Christians' future sins are not already forgiven. If a Christian sins, and of course that certainly happened, it happened to the apostles, what do? You repent. You confess that sin. You turn away from that sin, and you can come back as the prodigal did. You can get saved again. According to Luke 15:24, James 5:19-20, as well as Romans 11:19-21.
Dan, give us your web page, and I got another question, and we're getting some calls, but give us your web page and how they can get in touch with you. It is very important in these last days, these dark hours, that people get the truth so they don't go to hell. So give your web page and any other way they can get in contact with you.
All right, our website is www.evangelicaloutreach.org. That's www.evangelicaloutreach.org.
And you know, I got a scripture verse, and I know you're familiar with it, Dan. And it's in Hebrews 3rd chapter. It says, "Now take heed, brethren, lest there." And now he said, "Brethren," didn't he? "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, to depart from there, where you've had to been there, right?
Yes.
It said, "But exhort one another daily while it is called to death today, okay, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know, this believers that does not understand, they can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Now, that talks about sin again, Dan. So sin can send you to hell.
Yeah, but it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning our confidence steadfast until the end." That's pretty, wouldn't you say that's pretty plain?
I don't think anybody would ever believe in any of the 5 points of Calvinism. Of course, eternal security would be the 5th point of Calvinism. Nobody would believe that way unless they were indoctrinated that way. If they only read the Bible, nobody would come to that kind of conclusion. If you drop all preconceived ideas, forget about the creeds and the confessions and what mom and dad might have told you or your favorite preacher on TV or radio, and if you go right to the Bible and read the Bible, it's crystal clear that there is no such thing as eternal security, that a true Christian most definitely can lose their salvation. Jesus taught on salvation 7 times in the parables. And at least 7 times during those teachings on salvation, Jesus said you could lose your salvation, not in those exact words, but that was the essence of his teaching.
Praise the Lord. We got a call, but we're going to take a call from Michael in a second here. But you know, Dan, there. Once I heard the lie of eternal security, once saved, always saved, that spirit tried to attack my mind. And it tried to deceive me when I was very young in Christ. And I almost got myself into a real bad dilemma, thinking, you know, well, all is well. God knows my heart. Now, you can't be unborn again once you're born. But I didn't fall away, and I didn't do what this deceitful spirit was telling me, making me think everything was okay, because it is a lying, deceiving spirit that will draw us to eventually, that spirit will destroy us. So I want to take this call from Michael. If I lose you, call back. It's been a while since we've taken these kind of things over the phone. So here goes.
Is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. Ooh, I wonder what that's a. It's that they will gather to themselves one teacher after another due to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the error they hold.
Well, when I was listening to that false teacher and the spirit was talking to me and say, well, you can just enjoy the pleasures of sin and be saved at the same time, you got the best of both worlds. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We've gotten Michael on and we've had him holding the weight to ask a question, so Michael, go ahead and ask Dan a question or comment, whatever's on your heart.
Okay, thank you. I have been, of like a lot of people, trying to understand the doctrine of eternal security, and I've come across trying to understand what the sins unto death and the sins not unto death, what they mean. What are they? What's the difference between the two? And I can't really find any pastors who can really give me much of an answer.
Can you answer that, Dan?
Yes, we get that question from time to time in email form. People want to know, so usually what we do, we want them to realize that the Bible teaches there are different degrees of sin. Not all sin will cause you not to inherit the kingdom of God. There are specific lists in the Bible, such as Revelation 21:8, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And you will see in those four lists, and there are other ones just like them, there's another one in Mark chapter 7, you will see in these lists certain types of sins that are repeated, such as sexual immorality, idolatry, things like that, swindling. You will never see in any list, any of those five or any other list in the New Testament, where other sins, such as not being completely humble and gentle, and not overflowing with thanksgiving, will send anyone to hell. So that's my understanding. My understanding is the sin that is not unto death would be sins that would not send us to the second death, the lake of fire, such as, let's say, worry or not being completely humble and gentle, whereas other types of sin, such as what King David committed after he became elect, those types of sin will bring a truly righteous person to his spiritual death, as we are warned five times in the book of Ezekiel and numerous times in the New Testament, including Romans chapter 8, verse 13.
Does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
And I know of people right now that are call themselves Christians, go to church, living together, getting impregnated, not even wanting to get married, and going to church every Sunday thinking they're okay.
Yeah, we all know that's crazy, but...
Well, that's a very obvious sin, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's obvious, but they think they're fine because they have heard this false doctrine.
Well, there's been people trying to take advantage of God's grace for ever since time began, but for those of us who are just trying to find the truth, I don't know that anybody yet can stand up and say we fully understand it. But I appreciate your insight and what you're sharing. I just one question about that sin unto death in that list in Galatians 5, and that same list appears throughout different places. I've committed some of those sins since I've been a Christian.
Are you practicing them now?
No. Uh-uh.
Well, then you're okay if you've repented. Repenting means stopping it.
Yeah, turn away. Turn away from that sin. Don't keep going back to it.
Would you say that my spirit or my soul was spiritually dead at the point that I committed that sin, and then when I repented, I got life back again?
What, Dan?
I don't necessarily believe it would have to take a practice of sin to bring a Christian to a spiritual death, because Adam died after one sin. If you take the mark of the beast, that one sin will cause you not to inherit the kingdom. If you disown Jesus one time, he'll disown you before the Heavenly Father. To become a Bible-defined adulterer, it only takes one act of adultery. To be a Bible-defined murderer, it only takes one act of murder. If you have committed a particular type of sin that would bring you to your spiritual death, please be quick to repent. Confess that sin. You got to forgive those that sin against you as well, or your sin will not be forgiven according to what Jesus said. So that's another very important issue, a side issue in itself.
Repent and forsake. Do not even play with sin, because it can kill you, or you can die in the middle of it and lose your salvation. You could die on that adulterous bed by a gunshot and never see the kingdom of God.
Michael, if you touch a hot stove, what happens? You get burnt, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, if you keep playing with sin, you're going to get burnt real good.
And I mean hellfire.
Yeah. See, you got to understand that God's given you power over sin. You don't have to do it. But until you understand that and realize that, you won't resist it. The Bible tells us to resist sin. The Bible says, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You've got to learn that you have power to resist the devil, and you don't have to do those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, and you've got his website. You'll have our number if you need prayer, if you need us to stand with you. This has got, any of this stuff's got to stop in your life. It really does.
Okay, well,
okay.
Program.
God bless you. Bye-bye. And we'll go to our next call, and that's George. Did you have a question or comment? Good evening.
Yeah, one thing about the sin unto death, I mean, it's possible that's just talking about physical death and not spiritual death, too. There's too many verses in the Bible taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, but people died from that. Ananias and Sapphira, So I think it's a possibility that sin unto death there would be a physical death and not a spiritual death.
In other words, do you think Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't die spiritually?
The Bible doesn't say so. It doesn't say they went to hell.
Well, the Bible tells me that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and they died for lying to the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But there's also...
What do you think, Dan?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I believe that if a person would look at the three times the Apostle Paul spoke about this thing called spiritual death, it's found in Romans 8:13, Galatians 5:19 through 21, and Galatians 6:8-9. He spoke about the works of the sinful nature of the flesh in all three of these passages. In one passage, he said that you would die spiritually. In another, he said you will not inherit the kingdom. And the other one said you will reap destruction and not eternal life. So clearly, you're not just talking about physical death. And what really bothers me, how these eternal security people will say, what God will do if you stray into unrepentant wickedness, you don't turn from that, you remain stubborn, bullheaded, and evil, you refuse to repent, that God will kill you prematurely and take you to heaven. Now, they don't always come right out and say that last part, but sometimes they do, and that is always what they mean, because they don't believe you can lose your salvation. And you see, that takes the lid off of this idea that, at least from their doctrine, that you have to live holy to get into the kingdom. There was a man called this ministry over here, and he said, I have issue to take with you. And I says, go ahead. And he said, I want you to know that one form of eternal security is a license for immorality, but not the other form, not Calvinism. And I said, oh, yes, it is. Calvinism is a license for immorality. He says, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. He says, how do you figure? I said, well, consider what they say about the sin unto death. And I reminded him what D. James Kennedy taught. Kennedy said there was a man that was in his congregation that was in unrepentant adultery. This man was trying to get a married woman away from her husband, and he just flat out would not repent. And they were ready to excommunicate him from that congregation. They suspended the sacraments from him, according to Kennedy. And all of a sudden, God pulled his chain, quote unquote, and of course, Kennedy's thinking that he went to heaven. So that's their version of the sin unto death. That man didn't go to heaven. That man, sadly, went to hell.
Hey, my point was, though, in the Old Testament, had sins unto death. Adultery was a sin unto death. That people killed you for it. So that's another possibility. No, I don't believe in eternal security. I think Hebrews 6 very well that if you've been born again, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've experienced God's power. If you fall away, you cannot come back.
You don't believe you can come back and be renewed again? You
from
think
sin, yes, but not from unbelief after you've experienced belief.
Oh. Okay, did you have a comment on that, Dan? And we'll let you go and let Dan further comment. We'll take her that. Thank you.
Yes, I definitely do believe that if a true believer would lapse into unbelief, he can come back to salvation once again. The Apostle Paul taught that in Romans chapter 11, 19 through 23. He said, you can be grafted in again. He spoke of the kindness and sternness of God. Kindness to you provided you continue his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And he said, if they don't persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in again. So notice, if they don't persist in unbelief, if a true Christian would turn to, let's say, Jehovah's Witnesses, or some kind of a false belief like that, not trusting in Jesus for their salvation, agnosticism, whatever it might be, turn away, they can afterwards, they can come back to true salvation according to what the Bible says.
Hallelujah. And we got another call here, Sam. You're on KJSL. Did you have a question or comment for Dan?
I missed part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I'm not asking Mr. Connor to go back over something someone else asked. But I've had several people, I've heard several people preach that all sin is sin, and that it makes no difference what it is. If you have sin in your life, you're going to go to hell. I've had people preach a perfect speaker that there will be a lot of people that won't make it.
Well, I've heard that too, Sam, but we'll let Dan answer that. Did you have a comment on that one, Dan?
Jesus said that there is eternal sin. and that's equated with blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And then he said that all other blasphemy can be forgiven, but not that form of blasphemy. If I read no other passage in the Bible, I would know that all sin is not the same. Jesus clearly taught there that all sin is not the same. He said that there is eternal sin. Jesus also said in John chapter 19, he said that the one that would betray him was guilty of greater sin. And you already know about that passage in 1 John chapter 5. There's sin that leads to death, sin that does not lead to death. So it's impossible. The Bible does not teach that all sin is the same. The scripture that the eternal security people misuse is from James chapter 2. All you have to do is look at that passage. It's around verses 10 and 11. James is saying you don't have to commit adultery. All you have to do is murder a person to be a lawbreaker. He said that if you commit that one sin, if you commit murder, you are a lawbreaker. You don't have to commit adultery. It has absolutely nothing to do with saying that all sin is of the same degree, because other scriptures definitely teach they are not all of the same degree.
Mm-hmm. Dan, I got a scripture I want to read to you. I want your input on it. Okay. It's 1 John 2:18-22. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And I think a lot of people have an issue on this one. It says, what do you mean they weren't of us, but they went out from us?
Yes, could you answer that one?
Yes, this is a very common one. Sometimes they'll pair 1 John 2:19 to the passage in Matthew chapter 7, and they'll say, aha, you see, this is a false conversion, and if anybody is ever truly saved, they will definitely endure to the end in the way of holiness. This is a Calvinistic type argument, more so than what a Southern Baptist like Charles Stanley would say. The answer to that is, according to the context of 1 John chapter 2, he is referring to teachers, false teachers, and these false teachers did not even believe that Jesus was the Christ. Somehow they came among the apostles and they afterwards departed, and this is what he's referring to. He's referring to that particular type of person, not somebody, let's say, like Judas, who was with the apostles and afterwards betrayed the Lord Jesus, and he hung himself and went to hell in no way, shape, or form, or someone like a Hymenaeus and Philetus, somebody like Solomon, who in the latter part of his life, his heart turned to idolatry. These things definitely can and do happen, and that is why we must be very, very guarded. So, again, it's not enough to just listen to a radio broadcast. You need to get into the Bible for yourself and hide God's word in your heart. That's where you will get strength to stand up and the knowledge to know the truth from a false teaching.
Amen, brother.
And I happen to know some that go to church that still say Jesus isn't God and deny the fact that he was born of a virgin. And this is what really troubles me. They're really not of true Christianity and never were of true Christianity. And that's how they're revealed. That's because they're antichrist. They deny the Father and the Son.
We need to definitely get into the Bible, find out what God wants from us, and do his will. It says in Matthew 7:21, those are the ones that will enter the kingdom of God. We have to do his will. And certainly, it's believing on Jesus, but also it's following him. And to follow him, among other things, we are to take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow him.
Yes, and that means we'll deny ourselves because we love one another.
Right.
Amen. Well, God bless you, David.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And I know you'd agree with that, Dan. I want you to give your website again.
But I don't want to say this. Dan, mm-hmm. Before we hang up with you, I want to tell you right now, brother, I've enjoyed your time on the air with us tonight. And, we've had an awful lot of people that have been saying, where's Dan Corner at? And so now they've heard Dan Corner again. And we'll do this some more. How about that?
You need to surprise them more often.
Well, that's very kind of you, both of you, to have me on. I appreciate it.
Well, and would you give your website one more time?
The website is www.evangelicaloutreach.org, as in organization.
And Dan has a book out. It's called The Believer's Conditional Security, a study on perseverance and falling away. I recommend that. I mean, we have it. We've worn out the pages on this one, and we have them at church, and anytime our members want one, we get them, or we have them in a couple in stock right now. But order them from Dan. Go directly to his website or call his number at 1-877-8-SIN. Dan, we'll have you back on, and we love you, brother, and we thank you for standing and being bold no matter what the world says, no matter what the Christian church is saying right now. You're standing for truth, and we know you're going to be persecuted, but we love you, and we'll talk to you real soon again.
God bless you, and thank you very much.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Dan.